As I said, good evening, everyone. My name is Lakshmi. It's a pleasure to be with you all virtually tonight. Tonight's topic is that of divine will healing and the healing techniques of Paramahansa Yogananda. I'll begin just by sharing a little bit about wellness and healing, and then we'll have Sai Ganesh lead us in some practices. And then we'll end our evening with a 30-minute meditation. So we invite you to join us for all of these aspects to lift our consciousness and our energy together and to share joy and light and love with the world. A conversation about divine will healing. You know, in a conversation about divine will healing, I think that it's important to begin by looking at what wellness really means and how, as spiritual seekers, we can define and cultivate wellness in our own lives in order to share something with the world, in order to be a channel of healing and wellness for this world and for individuals in need. It's important that we understand what the essence of wellness really is. And to begin with that topic, I'd like to share a story. When I was in high school, all through my adolescence and into college, I was a competitive water polo player, and it was a huge part of my life. And in Southern California, the women's water polo season is in the winter, so it starts in November and it goes through December. So pretty much as a water polo player, because you're jumping in the pool at 5 o'clock in the morning and climbing out again at 6 o'clock in the morning and then jumping back in the afternoon and climbing out late at night, you're pretty much just sick the whole time. You have a cough and a little bit of a runny nose and just sort of the essence of what it means to be getting in and out of a cold pool on a cold day in the middle of winter over and over again. And so as a water polo player, you just sort of make the choice to live with that sickness, to live with your sniffles and your coughs, because the other option is to not play. And I remember one day when we were nearing the end of the season, and I woke up just sick as a dog. I could feel my whole body just fatigue and tiredness and weakness and just wanting to do everything I could and running through all the reasons in my head that I should just stay in bed all day. And I also remembered that day was an important game. So we had a playoff game, which was going to determine our standing in the competition in the final tournament for the season, and the game happened to be that day. So while I was laying in bed, sort of weighing the pros and cons of feeling just so sick in my body and tired and run down, I also remembered, you know, there was a rule at my high school that if you were absent from school, then you weren't allowed to participate. You were benched for the games, for any competitive play. So I was weighing the pros and cons, and I knew I really wanted to be a part of this game, that it was vastly important to me in my young adolescence. And I knew that I couldn't miss that game. Therefore, I knew I couldn't miss school. And so I remember lying in bed and just clearly telling myself, you are not sick, and mustering as much energy as I could to just say, you will get out of bed, you are not sick. Now, as a yogi many years later, I know that's not the right affirmation, that what I should have said is, I am well, but it's what I had at the moment. And in that moment, as I was affirming this reality, you are not sick, I felt this burst of energy, and I was able to get up and get out of bed and get dressed, and then I meandered upstairs and made my way to school, and then first period comes, and again, there comes the fatigue, the sniffles, the coughing, just the desire to kind of fall back down into that bodily fatigue, that bodily weakness and sickness. And I told myself again, you are not sick, you are well, you are strong. And I was able to get through first period, and I found that, hey, this is working for me. The more that I used my concentration and my energy, everything that Keshava was talking about last week, I'm sorry, that Shama was talking about last week and that Keshava was leading us through last week with affirmations, right? Just that ability to hone in and to find the willpower and the strength and the concentration to take all of our energy and lift ourselves up out of any sort of obstacle or inconvenience or impediment that's happening, that words have power, right? This is what Swami Kriyananda told us last week about affirmation. Words are crystallized thought. They hold a power, and they have the ability to shift our energy and our consciousness. And that's what I realized I was doing all day long, just continuing, just moment by moment, I would say subtly, but it really wasn't subtle. It was burst by burst every time that I was using that willpower and that energy to strengthen myself and to affirm that I was well, it was working. And by the time I jumped in the pool that evening at 6 o'clock at night or whenever the game happened to be, the reality is I was well. I was strong. I was prepared. I was excited to be in the water and to be playing. And we went on and we played well. And, you know, there goes the rest of the season. And, you know, the significance of the story is the power of the ability to affirm wellness. It's the power of understanding where wellness is actually coming from. The significance of this story is not the fact that I was able to feel well, that there was a physical transformation that happened for me at the end of the day as I was continually affirming my wellness, but the significance is the shift in consciousness that was coming as a result of the constant affirmations. Each time that I was affirming, I am well, each time that I was using my willpower and my concentration and all of my energy to raise that energy up, to lift myself up into a higher state of consciousness, what I was doing is I was beginning to vibrate on a higher and higher frequency until my consciousness, so the consciousness that I was affirming, the energy that was within me, was matching the frequency and the vibration of the cosmic consciousness and of the truth that I am well. On a soul level, the soul is well. It is whole. There are no impediments or fatigue or weaknesses that can penetrate it. And so what was happening throughout the day, and the miraculous part of the story, is not the fact that on a bodily level, I felt better, but that I was able to lift my consciousness, to shift my energy, and to move myself into a frequency where I was vibrating in harmony with the cosmic vibration, with the cosmic consciousness. And I was able to affirm that truth of wellness. Because wellness is a state of mind. Wellness is a condition of the soul. And it's something that we're consciously cultivating as we continue to grow on the spiritual path. Each time that we are affirming our wellness, each time that we are raising our energy and opening our hearts, we're vibrating closer and closer to that frequency that is in harmony with the divine energy that is always permeating, or that is always flowing around us, that is ever permeating every aspect of our lives. And the more that we harmonize with that flow, the more that we shift our consciousness and raise our energy, the more we're moving towards that state of true wellness, and we're really getting to the essence of what wellness actually is. Another example of this, and one that is a little bit more profound, because, you know, well, that example speaks to the essence of wellness. You know, I was kind of giggling to myself when that came into my mind the other day as I was thinking about this topic and realizing that to my 15-year-old self, that moment, that water polo game felt like a life-changing event, that there was nothing in the world that could get in the way of my jumping in the water and participating in that game. But the truth is that was a superficial just moment that kind of floated by in my life. It wasn't the essence of who I was. It wasn't affirming my soul's reason for being on this planet. But it was an example of sheer willpower and sheer force. And the power of Yogananda's words, the greater the will, the greater the flow of energy. And what Swami Kriyananda adds to that, the greater the flow of energy, the greater the magnetism, that we can begin to cultivate these states of wellness by lifting our consciousness and refining our energy. Because wellness, healing, it all happens on an energetic level. It's not the physical level that's significant. It's rather the energetic level. So a second story that I thought of, and an example of this, this is a story that Shanti Rubinstone, one of the spiritual directors here in Palo Alto, has shared on different occasions for various topics. And while I may not get all of the details right, I'll get the essence of the story and be able to share it with all of you. This is a story that many of you will know. It's a story of a young boy and his father and his family who immigrate to the United States when he is very young. I believe it was from an Eastern European country. This is a true story. And the young boy had been a violinist, and he was somewhat of a prodigy. He really, when he was playing the violin, he was in tune with his soul's purpose for being, for incarnating on this planet. He was here to be a violinist. He felt the music. It was a part of him. It flowed through him from what we can imagine would be a divine place. And when he and his family moved to the United States or immigrated to the United States, his father took the violin and put it in the attic and said, you know, no more, there's no more time for idle play. There's no more time for hobbies. We are here to work. We have to pull ourselves up and claim our place in this world. And that takes hard work and determination, and we don't have time for play. And the young boy that never really picked up the violin again. It was up in the, it was up in the attic, and he never came back to it, and he wasn't playing it. And then when he was an older man, he developed a cancer, and the cancer spread throughout his body to a point where medically there wasn't much that could be done for him. And he started working with a doctor who was trying to tap into the connection between the mind and the body and the heart, and looking at ways to heal through focusing on the emotions, focusing on the heart, focusing on the mind, and not just focusing on how to cure on a physical level, because the cancer had spread throughout this man's body to a place where medically there wasn't much else that they could do. And when this man told his doctor about this story, the doctor said, go and get your violin and just begin playing. And the man did, and he went and picked up the violin. And every day he just began playing. And as he began playing the violin, he was tapping into his soul's true nature. He was tapping into what the essence of why he incarnated onto the into this world. He was back with the instrument that was an extension of his self. He was able to play and feel the music and flow in harmony with the joy and the attunement of that divine energy that was flowing through him, in this case, in the essence of music. And the miraculous thing is that as he was playing, as he continued to play the violin and picked that up and reintroduced that into his life and harmonized with that instrument and attuned himself to that music that was flowing through him, the cancer in his body began to recede. And over time, it receded more and more to a point that he experienced wellness. Now, I'm using my words cautiously there when I say to the place where he experienced wellness, because I could have said to the place where he was healed. But our mind is so quick to jump on the physical. So the truth is, on the physical level, he was healed. The cancer was receding. But the wellness that he experienced was on an energetic level. The wellness that he experienced was the opportunity that playing that instrument and reattuning himself to that instrument gave for him to open his heart. And what do we know? When our heart opens up, energy is able to flow, our consciousness is lifted. This is the essence of wellness. This is what caused the physical healing. But it didn't start on a physical level. Of course, we know this with our logical mind. You can't just play an instrument and say that's the cure for cancer. Then anyone else who goes to pick up that instrument and their cancer isn't cured, it's not a physical cure. It's the energetic level. It's the opportunity to open the heart, to live in tune, in harmony with that which you were brought into this world to do. And in this case, for this particular man who was a violinist and a prodigy as a child, he came into this world to create this music, to play this music. So when he brought that back into his life, he found healing on a physical level, but it's the energy that communicated that, that created that. Because we know, as yogis, the physical level, the material plane, is the grossest manifestation of divine consciousness. But just behind the physical level is the energetic level. And just behind the energetic level is the causal level, is the pure is pure stillness and the consciousness of God. And as that consciousness only looking at it on the physical plane, then we're missing the essence of what true wellness actually is and where true wellness is actually cultivated. Because as I said, it's not a physical state of being. It's a state of mind. It is a condition of the soul. It is something that we experience within as we begin to, again, harmonize, to attune ourselves to that flow of energy, to that flow of divine will that is always ever-present around us. The more that we can withdraw back to that place of perfect stillness, so we can withdraw our energy and find that place of stillness within ourselves, of lifting ourselves out of the whirlwind and the chaos that's happening all around us, the more that we experience wellness, because our energy becomes refined. And our consciousness becomes refined. And this is where we are headed. It's the question of, you know, a friend reminded me today of the statement when I was just thinking in my mind is, it's the sole purpose of life. And I love that statement because soul is a little bit of a double, it is a double entendre. You know, it is the sole purpose of life in the sense that it is the only, S-O-L-E, the only purpose of life. But it's also the sole purpose of life, S-O-U-L. It is our soul's purpose. And what is the sole purpose of life? It's to find God. It's to attune ourselves to God, to lift our consciousness back to a place of knowing God. And there are so many paths, and each one of us has to take our own path back to God. And that comes with obstacles and challenges and karmic battles that we have to raise our energy for. The thing is that God isn't concerned with what's happening on the physical level. God is concerned with our consciousness. God is concerned with how we face our tests. And that happens on the energetic level. A beautiful story that it really epitomizes this, because it's an example of someone who wasn't successful, who found wellness at the end of her life, but it wasn't in a physical in the physical manifestation of that, is another story that Shanti shares. It's a personal story from her life. Many of you will know it, but it's the perfect example here. And Shanti, for those of you that don't know, also is a medical doctor. And she was seeing a patient, this woman who came into her office and was just very brash and big and challenging and mean, and just kind of sat down and said, "I don't like doctors, I don't like you, and I'm not going to listen to a word you have to say." And Shanti, in her nature and in her compassionate way, said, "Okay," and sat down and spoke with the woman for a few moments to discover two significant things. One, that the woman had seen a doctor the day before who said she had an inoperable tumor. And the second thing that Shanti found out in the midst of this discussion that she was having with the woman was that this woman was struggling at home and really disliked her husband and said several times how much she disliked her husband and that she wanted to leave him and that things were just horrible and miserable at home. And so Shanti examined the woman and did some tests and said, "Well, why don't you come back in 2 weeks and we'll talk about what options you have." She said, "But I'd like to give you a prescription." And the prescription was to say 3 nice things about her husband every single day. The woman, to no surprise, was a little bit shocked by that and said, "Well, that's not going to be easy." And Shanti said, "I never said it would be easy." And the woman stormed out of the office and slammed the door, and Shanti thought she'd never see her again. But she came back 2 weeks later, and she sat down, and they discussed the diagnosis and talked about medically what was going on for the woman. And then as she was about to leave, Shanti said, "Well, wait a minute. Why don't you tell me how things are going at home? And the woman said, "They're great. Why?" And Shanti kind of giggled, and she said, "Well," and reminded her of everything that had happened when they were there 2 weeks prior. And this woman said, "You know what? I was so mad at you when you left that I decided to do what you asked me to do to prove you wrong." And then she said, "But the most amazing thing happened. Within 2 days, Everything changed. My relationship with my husband changed. He was loving and kind, and we were in tune and in harmony and in sync with one another. Shanti just kind of laughed, and of course, being on this path, giggled and said, of course, I trust everything that you're saying, and I know that this is the truth. And the significance of this story, Shanti goes on to say, that she later helped this woman to die because on a physical level, she wasn't in a position where there was anything medically that could be done, and it was her karma to go through this challenge. But the significance of the story is that Shanti always makes sure to note, this woman died well, because what Shanti said she experienced as she helped this woman to die was a couple who were so in tune with one another, who were so close and loving with one another. She said she's seen very few examples of a family that was able to go through a difficult situation like this with their hearts open as much as these two people were, which is an amazing shift from just the few months prior when that woman was hard and brash and just closed off when in Shanti's office with her. And so the essence of the wellness here and the importance of this story is that this woman died well. This woman found wellness at the end of her life. And that was in the form of an open heart, of compassion, of love, of living in harmony and in tune with the divine qualities, power, wisdom, joy, peace, strength. And it's an important story for all of us to remember, especially in times when we are considering what divine will healing means to each one of us. Because the essence of wellness is not what it appears to be on the physical plane. The essence of wellness comes back to that which each individual soul needs in order to bring their consciousness closer to the divine. This is the essence of true wellness. It's an energetic opportunity to raise our consciousness and open our hearts and live in a state of love. Mary Kretzmann, in her book Divine Will, in the book Divine Will Healing, talks about what it means and what it takes to be a healer. And one of she quotes Yogananda saying that, let me see if I can get the words right. She quotes Yogananda, it may be paraphrased, but the essence will be the same, saying that someone who is a healer has to love the person that they are healing, the patient, the person that they are healing, the soul that they are sending their energy to, unconditionally and as selflessly as a mother to her child. And that term really struck me because it made me think about what selfless means to each one of us. And so much of our lives are tied up in ego consciousness. It's tied up in our own likes and dislikes, the things that we need to feel safe, the things that we want to make us feel happy. And when we're discussing divine will healing, what we want to tap into is the essence of wellness, which is not about what the ego wants, which is not about what we want to change on the material plane, but it's about taking that step back to the energetic level and then ultimately to the causal level, to that place of pure consciousness, of divine will, and tapping into what is best for the soul in front of us, what is going to help that soul to expand. And as so many of us know, though it can be difficult to watch, suffering, pain, challenges, these are things that help us to grow. These are things that automatically allow us to raise our consciousness. Whether it's something as simple and mundane as, I don't feel well, but I want to play water polo today, to playing the violin and tapping into the true essence of our nature and what we were born to do, to finding a way to open your heart to your loving partner and end your life in a place of love and of joy and of uplifted consciousness. In each one of these examples, whether the outcome on the material plane, the physical outcome, is not what matters. It's the ability of the soul individually to lift his or her consciousness and bring themselves, to bring the soul's consciousness closer to that place of divinity. You know, Yogananda tells us The channel is blessed by that which flows through it. And as we are considering what it means to be a channel of healing energy for all of the world, whether it's an individual soul or in a situation like we're in currently, spreading that healing energy, that divine love out into the world to the many countless souls who are in need of healing light and energy right now. The essence of that phrase, the channel is blessed by that which flows through it. What do we want flowing through our channel? Divine energy, divine will, divine healing, divine light. And that is not tied up in, that is not constrained or constricted by the outcomes of the material plane. Our ego, we have to raise our energy beyond the place of ego and allow our hearts to be open to that channel of divine will and to raise each individual soul up to the place where he or she needs to be to open their heart to God, to that next step for each one of us individually. I'll end with one more story. Yogananda talks about a story in, well, I guess it's in many books, but I was reading it in How to Be Truly Well today. And he tells the story of a man who was diagnosed with, I believe it was diabetes, and given 3 months to live. And the man, the story is called Becoming a Saint. And the man goes back to his home and is determined to spend those 3 months finding God. And he sits down and he starts meditating. And in the story, Yogananda points out that at the start, he was only able to sit for 15 minutes. Then it became hours and hours, and he was able to meditate longer. And the prayer that he was offering to the divine in the midst of those meditations was, Lord, come into this broken temple. And he was surprised to find years later that the Lord appeared to him and he was healed and he was well. And he says to the Lord, I didn't ask you to heal me. I just asked you to come into my broken temple. And the Lord's response to him is, where my light is, no darkness can remain. This is the essence of what true divine will healing means, for each one of us to raise our energy to a place of opening our hearts and becoming a channel of God's light, becoming a channel of joy and peace to the world. And that doesn't mean that we look for changes on the physical level or that we ask for changes on the physical level. It means that we ask God to enter into the temple of each soul, the body, the heart, the mind that resides or that encases each soul and helps that soul to find their next step, just one moment, step by step, closer towards the divine. This is the sole purpose of life, S-O-L-E and S-O-U-L. What we are always doing is raising our energy and helping everybody in the world around us, everyone that we encounter, to raise their consciousness until we all get to meet in God realization and self-realization with one another. So as we practice our healing techniques tonight, let's cultivate that energy. Let's open our hearts and be channels of the divine. The channel is blessed by that which flows through it. Let's allow God's light to flow through our hearts, to flow through our bodies, to flow through our arms and our limbs as we hold them up and raise them up to the divine. And let's be thoughtful about where our ego is in the midst of it. Can we set the ego aside and listen for the truth behind the physical plane? Listen for the energetic call of the soul.